Okay. A little more focused. We've been talking about Friend Day for the past several weeks, okay? And we've been talking about friendship and how it plays in ours. We talked about how Christians have a need for friends in our lives. We have a need for people to impact our lives and to be invested in our lives. God didn't design us to be isolationist, okay? He designed us to interact. You know, I keep hearing, in fact, Ada was telling me that one person that she talked to indicated about the fact of that they didn't worship God. They didn't need to come to church to worship God. And you know, it's hard to argue with that because you don't. Because God's everywhere. God is present everywhere. And he's given us that ability to worship him in the midst of nature as we go day to day. So why do we have church? Why do we come to church? Well, we come to church because it's the place that God designed for us as Christians, for us to find the encouragement, to find the support of one another in our pursuit. And it may be, yeah, you don't need to be here, but maybe you need to be here to encourage me. Okay? Maybe I'm the one who has the need. Maybe I'm the one that needs to be strengthened by your faith and that you need to minister to me. And we forget that. We forget that God built us in that fashion so that we could interact with one another and to realize that every one of us who is here today, God has a purpose for you, okay? He has a purpose for each one of you. He has loved you from the beginning of time and designed you for that. And that's why we need friends, so that we can discover those purposes, so that we can see God at work in our lives. And we want to continue about that. We had talked about that aspect, okay? Well, I want to talk today a little bit more about the different types of friends, the different kinds of friends that we have within our lives, okay? One of those, I get tired of carrying these notes around, but I don't like standing up here. I got to figure out something. I don't know. Maybe I know what I need. I need a teleprompter. Okay, that's like the president. You got golly. First of all, I want us to I want us to understand that part of the friends that we have, the kinds of friends that we have investing in our lives, can be called counselor friends. There are multiple types. You know, there are many types that of friends that we can have. But I just want us to consider one type, okay? In Exodus, and we're going to jump around in our Bible today, so you can pull it out, and you can kind of get your exercise, your fingers limbered up, because we're going to jump around. But in Exodus chapter 18, okay? Exodus chapter 18. Beginning in verse 15 of Exodus chapter 18, verse 15. And the situation here is Moses has confronted Pharaoh, all right? And the children of Israel, God through Moses has brought a great deliverance, okay? And God has led the people using Moses as his physical earthly leader. He has directed Moses to bring the people out into the wilderness, and there they're getting instructed, they're getting law that God's educating them. He's giving them the laws that by which they are to guide their society. He's helping right now to prepare this mass of people to become a great nation. Okay, so he's investing some time before he takes them into the promised land. Well, the problem is that in any society you got to have some government. You got to have some way to do stuff, right? And so there are thousands of people. And you can't have thousands of people around without bumping a few heads, right? And people getting a little sore and wanting judgment, wanting some decisions made. And so they go to Moses because he's the leader. He's the one that's led them out. He's the one, and they bring their cases. Well, you know, they owe me this, and they owe me that. And who's to decide? You know, no, I don't. You know, and they have their argument, and they go to court, if you want to put it that way. So in verse 15... Jethro, Moses' father's there, and he's been talking to him, to Moses. And his father-in-law comes to Moses, and he says, "What's going on, Moses?" And Moses, in verse 15, answers him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties. and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. And Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people have who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. Okay, you cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. And you must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. And then teach them his decrees." So what we find the setting where Moses is trying to judge these thousands of cases that are being brought to him by this vast number of people. And Moses is staying up from day, from sunup to sundown, and it's wearing Moses out. So Jethro, his father-in-law, comes along and says, "Moses, there's got to be a better way." And he starts talking to him. Part of what we see in this, and skip down, by the way, down to verse 23. After he gives him his advice, tells him what he needs to do and how to structure it. In verse 23, Jethro says to Moses, he says, "If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." So what Jethro told Moses was, get some people, train them, get some other leaders here to help you. And basically he set up a court system, just like we have today. You have your lower courts that deal with lesser cases of significance, maybe small claims as we call it. And then, your minor courts and to deal with minor offenses and on up. And finally, to Moses would be like our Supreme Court, And he tries the real hard cases where it's hard to discern. And he set up this court system is basically what Jethro's instructions were. And we find here that, first of all, that friends, these counselor friends, do several things. First of all, they listen to us. Notice maybe it should be better said, they observe, they watch, they look. One of the things that goes on here is that they sit back and Moses' father-in-law watched what was going on. Okay, prior to where we started reading, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, was watching. He was observing. He was listening to what was going on in the peoples and with Moses himself. And he was observing all that was happening. And one of the things that we need counselor friends in our lives is to help do this kind of observation. To sit back and see what's going on in our lives. Sometimes we're too close and we can't see the issues within our own life, okay? And then as he listened to him, he gave Moses a chance. He approached Moses and he said, "Here, explain to me why you're doing this." And so Moses vented on him. He says, "Golly," he says, "I gotta do this. I got all these people coming. They're wanting my advice. They're wanting me to make these judgments." He goes on and he vents and tells them. And a lot of time a counselor will simply ask us a question and give us a chance, that place to say back what we do. One of the things I take courage here is, think about Moses. Moses was a great leader, okay? Delivering the people of Israel, leading them for 40 years as their primary leader. He was a great leader, but yet he still struggled, okay? He still had the human struggles that each of us have. And we have to recognize, sometimes we need to understand we have limits in our lives that we can't push beyond those limits. We need to understand and recognize that. I think Jethro, his father-in-law, helped Moses see those limits in his life. You and I need to have somebody in our life who can look and say, "You're trying to do too much. You're trying to push beyond what you can do." Okay? And understand that God hasn't gifted all of us with the ability to do everything. There are places, there are times that we have to sit back and say, "This is the line. I can go do this much, but I can't go beyond that." So give yourselves that grace. Moses had to give himself that grace to be able to do that. And then the other thing that he did is after listening and after reflecting and giving Moses that chance, he helped design a system, a solution. He gave him the advice that he needed. Now, I have to compliment Moses. He took advice from his father-in-law. Yeah, guys, is that a challenge? Okay. Mother-in-laws, father-in-laws, sometimes that's hard to take their advice. But Moses was willing to do that. Moses was willing to listen because he had recognized that this was a counselor. Man was a counselor that could give him the direction. You need to look in your life. Has God placed a counselor friend within your life? Maybe you just need to ask God to show you who that might be. Who is it that God wants in your life to help counsel you? Another kind of type of friend that God gives us is a hero friend. This is a kind of an interesting story. You guys remember Ezekiel? Elijah? Elijah, okay? And Elijah had his ministry, and remember, Elijah was, I always have problems keeping these names straight, okay? But Elijah, okay, and the way I remember this, J, okay, comes before S, Shah, Elisha, okay? So Elijah was the first guy, okay? And Elijah was a great prophet. He's the one that encountered the prophets of Baal, okay? And these prophets of Baal set up this altar, and he challenged them to a duel. There had been a drought for years, okay, because Elijah prayed, and the heavens dried up. And this great drought had come across the land. And he challenged the prophets of Baal. And all these prophets of Baal, I guess there were 1,000 of them whenever it was all tallied up. These thousands of prophets of Baal set up these altars. And the challenge was, the God who answers by fire is the true God. And so the idea was, is you set up the altars and you do everything you want and get that altar all ready, but you can't light the fire. God has to answer that with fire. So the prophets of Baal did this, and they danced around, and they sang their songs, and they cut themselves. They got out, and they were crying out, and for hours they did this. And Elijah's sitting over there off to the side. He's watching them do all these things, and he starts taunting him. He says, hey, what's the matter? He says, is your God out at the bathroom? Did he have to step out? You know, he really kind of mocks them, okay? And finally, after hours and hours, And the prophet, the God of Baal, doesn't answer. And obviously he can't answer because he's not real, all right? And so he doesn't answer. He doesn't respond. And so Elijah goes over, he creates this altar, builds this great altar, and he puts sacrifices the animal, puts it on there, puts out the stuff. And then he tells them, he says, go get some water. And they get several buckets of water, several barrels of water, and they dump it all around, fills a moat up around it, drenches everything on that altar, okay? So you couldn't take a match, you couldn't light it, the thing, okay? He's got it soaking wet. And then he prays, and God comes down in fire, consumes the sacrifice. And immediately the people respond. The prophets of Baal are slaughtered. And everybody's on the run, okay? And they're turning back to God, to the true God. And the true believers that were remnants are starting to follow. And then Elijah does something really stupid. He hears that Jezebel, one woman, you see women, how much power you have? One woman criticized him and said, I'm going to get his head. I'm going to have his head today. And so what does he do? Does he stand up? God just protected him. God just delivered with fire. God just did all this wonderful stuff. And what does he do? He turns around and he runs. I don't understand us. I don't understand why we do that. We see God's mighty work, and then we turn around. Nevertheless, God spoke to Elijah some more. He came and he talked to him. And he appeared to him in a still small voice and said, this is what I want you to do in the rest of your ministry. Okay? So he went out and he found Elisha. And Elisha was to be his follower. Okay? The one who came after. And here in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. And Elijah now is going to call Elisha. So in verse 19 it says, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. And Elijah went to him and threw his cloak around him. That was the symbol saying, I'm putting my claim on you. He threw his cloak around him, okay? And Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. And he says to him, he says, let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Elijah said, go back. What have I done to you? So Elisha left and went back and took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. And he burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate it. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Note the significance. He burned his equipment. He slaughtered the oxen. In other words, here was this farmer. He had been a farmer. He had been plowing the fields as a farmer. God called his life. God called him. And he said yes. And he burned his bridges. He slaughtered the oxen, which he needed to plow the fields. He burned the equipment that he needed to plow the fields. He says, no longer am I going to be a farmer. I'm done with that part because God has called me. And he said yes to God's call. Interesting, isn't it? Well, Elisha was the hero. And he was a model, a role model for Elijah, okay? And if you look over in 2 Kings chapter 15, or chapter 2, just a few pages over, 2 Kings chapter 2, in these thin pages, it's tough to do, guys, but 2 Kings chapter 2, and then 2 Kings chapter 2, in verse 15, now here's what has happened, is Elisha had begun following Elijah. They'd gone through some stuff. And now as God was preparing these final days and Elijah was going to be taken up into heaven, they began doing some stuff, okay? In fact, if you look at verse chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And God sent him to Bethel, okay? And here, for the next several verses, you find this kind of a tag game. Elisha responds, says, no, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to follow you. Why? Because he was his hero. Because he was the guy that he wanted to be like. He wanted that to have that same prophetic ability, that ability to call, pray, and not have it rain for 7 years, the ability to pray and have the fire from heaven come down and consume the altar. He wanted that power, and Elisha looked at that and wanted his life to be like that of Elijah. And Elisha says, no way, I'm not staying here. I'm going to go with you. And so Elijah goes to Bethel, and then he goes to someplace else, and he goes. And Elisha, every time, follows him. And finally, God takes Elijah up in a whirlwind, and his cloak falls down back upon Elisha. And he takes that cloak, and with it, he begins to be the prophet that God now has ordained. And in verse 15, so the company of the prophets, there were some from Jericho, the people that were there, they were watching all this, and who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. So here God had honored what Elisha had done in pursuing him. Folks, sometimes we pick the wrong heroes. I want you to think about that for a moment. How many of you guys like the Super Bowl game? Anybody? Anybody watch it? Yeah. Like that? Man, you know, how many of you guys have posters of football people? You know, you guys have heroes? I find it amazing that in our society, we promote the sports. Okay, now Jeff, come on. I know, I'm getting close to him. I was going to warn you. I know I'm meddling. I know this, okay? But I got to say this, guys. We had a little bit of this discussion, okay? I'm not here. I certainly don't want to condemn that because I think it's part of our society. And so I'm not in that sense. But I want you to think for a moment, okay? You know, we have heroes in our lives. A lot of us choose these sports figures, okay? We have football heroes, quarterbacks, you know, catchers, you know, the tight ends or, you know, we have different heroes. We have boxers that are heroes. We have basketball heroes. We have sports people are heroes. A lot of us are into race cars. I mean, you know, you like to see those. I mean, you guys, and they can. Each of us has something different. Some musicians, you know, are that great band. Yeah, you know. And you know what I began to watch is I began to see these stars, these actors, these actresses, And I began to watch and see how people honored these people and just fawn over them. I go into the drugstore and you see these tabloids and all the stories that are all centered upon these stars, the public figures, these popularity things, and people after them. And I see these articles written, and I see the worship that we have of the sports people. And I think about, why are we making those people our heroes? Whenever you find them and you talk to them, the whole life is just about themselves. There's no honor for God among many of these people. Not all. There are some who do honor God. But many of these people are so self-centered and so stuck on themselves that they don't honor God. And it's all about them. And they'll be foul-mouthed, and they'll be defaming the very values that God has set in our life, to honor Him, and to seek grace, and to seek goodness. Okay? And we yet will set them up as heroes. Folks, I want to... I'm slapping you just a little bit, if that's you, okay? Not hard, please understand. But enough to get your attention. Because I want you to really think, who are the real heroes that we need to have? Yeah, aren't there other people in our lives who've walked with dignity? Who've walked in ways that expend and share God's grace in this world? Aren't there other people in our lives that we have met who could be somebody? You know, if JR were going to stick around, I'd probably say JR would be one of my heroes. You listen to the stories he tells. JR, pick it on you. Okay, and you listen to the stories he tells, and you listen to the experiences and how he has depended upon God, and he has seen how God has taken him through life. That's the kind of thing. You want to have that kind of dependence upon God. You want to turn to people and lift up people in your lives who can teach you how to walk closer to God and walk with God. That's the kind of thing that you want in your life. And we need to be seeking that in our lives. So there are hero friends, and I've run out of time. Okay? I had a couple other friends that I wanted to tell you about today, but I can't. But I do want you to think about this. There are different people, teachers, people that can teach you, that can educate you. There are people that can come alongside and walk with you through struggles, who can be helper friends, okay? Who can encourage you in those times of discouragement. God places different people in our lives at different times to be the friends that we need. And I think it's important to recognize God's work in that. But I want to take a step back, and I want you to ask one other question. God needs you to be somebody's hero. God needs you to be somebody's counselor. God needs you to be somebody's teacher. And I want to ask you for a moment to think about who in your life, who do you encounter on a daily basis or a weekly basis? Who do you have interaction with that you need to be an example for? Who is it that God has placed in your life that He wants you to reach out to and put your arm around them? And just like Elijah brought Elisha along and showed him, maybe God is putting you in somebody's life to help bring that person into a deeper relationship with Him. Where's God working in your life? We have some bookmarks. Last week I passed out a sheet, okay, in the bulletin and had give you places where you could list friends and pray for the different friends in your life. There are bookmarks back here. Mike and Mike. I don't know if you guys can pass those out real quick. They're back there on the table. They were there. Pass those bookmarks out to people. I want you to take a moment before you leave today. I want you to think about a few of the friends that you need to pray about and about the relationship that God wants you to have with that person. I think God is always challenging us to grow in our lives. God always wants, whenever we go out this door, He doesn't want us to be the same. He wants us to be different than when we walked in the door, okay? And He wants us to grow so that we can go out into this world and influence the people around us as they seek after God. So who around you? And I know that, you know, my personal preference, I told you guys this before, I'm an introvert, okay? I really am, okay? I left to my own self, I'd lock myself in a closet and not deal with anybody, okay? That's me. That's my preference. But God has us in this world to interact with others. Who is it that God wants you to interact with? I'm not saying that there's anything wrong. We all have different aspects in our lives, okay? We need to accept who we are and then learn to move beyond. Use those bookmarks. Write a name in there, okay? A couple of names on that bookmark. Put it in your Bible. And every time you open up your Bible, pray for those friends that God has in your life. Pray for those people so that you can have that relationship with them to be an example, to be a counselor at times, to be a helper at times, a teacher. How's God working in your life? I'm not going to be here next Sunday. You're not going to have to listen to another friend sermon. But I'm expecting every one of you to have a friend here on the following Sunday, okay? On the 10th. I really want you guys to work hard. I'm thankful for those who have already done that effort and gotten their commitments from their friends. I'm hoping that the rest of you will too. Friend Day cards are in the back. You can pick them up. Pray for these friends that you've got. Let's pray as we go. Father, I just want to thank you for the time you've given us together today. I thank you, God, for the work that you're doing in our midst. I pray, God, for each one of us that our hearts will be ready to hear your word during our time of revival. And I pray, God, that we'll clear our calendars of other events. I pray, God, that we will set apart this time and dedicate it to you, that we might hear from you the challenges you have for our life and for this church. God, you've been with this church for 25 years. You've been the help. And I pray, God, as we look forward to the future, that we might trust you to continue to lead us and walk with us. In Christ's name.